And welcome back in GameDaySportsRadio.com and Inside the Numbers. Boji Wood here with you, along with Mike Bernard from OTM Sports. Moving right along, Mike, let's move to the ACC. Number 16, North Carolina State at number 3, Clemson. This will be a 3:30 kickoff on ESPN. Mike, don't sleep on this game. I know Clemson has won 13 of the last 14, but 2016, the year that Clemson won the national championship, the Tigers won this game at home in Death Valley 24-17 in overtime. The Wolfpack took an unnecessary sack to cause a game-winning field goal to miss just by inches. If they don't give up that sack, that field goal is good. And when it goes in, the Tigers don't even reach the playoffs that year. And then last year, it was just a one-score game, 38-31 in Raleigh.
Oh, yeah. And very few in the media even mention the fact that NC State is unbeaten and have won 7 straight games going back to last year. Clemson opened a 20-point favorite. They're now anywhere from 17 to 18. I don't think Clemson ever overlooks NC State because of their coaching staff and head coach, but it's simply a matter of NC State. They just match up very well against Clemson in several key areas.
North Carolina State quarterback Ryan Finley, he's thrown for over 1,600 yards, has 10 touchdowns. You've got Trevor Lawrence returning from concussion protocol after that lick he took against Syracuse. But, listen, I like these two defenses. Very impressed with both. Of course, you know how good Clemson is. They only give up 108 yards per game rushing. North Carolina State, even better. They only give up 107 yards rushing.
Right, and look at those two defensive lines, Clemson and NC State, and that's even with all the – you had Chubb from NC State, that he's in the NFL. He was a top draft pick. We all know that, you know, all the top great defensive players from Clemson that are now in the league. When I take a look at this game, last year, State outgained Clemson, but they lost by 7. They kept it close. They covered. Wolfpack, they've covered 5 of the last 6 times they've gone to Clemson. So they don't go there and get blown out. They've covered 6 of the last 8 meetings overall. They always seem to play the top-tier ACC teams very close. Now, whether that was Florida State a few years ago or Clemson the last 4 seasons, they play the team to beat in the ACC very close. I'm going to take the points here and go with the Wolfpack.
Another top 25 matchup in the SEC, number 22, Mississippi State, at number 5, LSU. The Bulldogs, they got their season back on track with a 23-9 win over then number 8 Auburn a couple of Saturdays ago. The Bengal Tigers, they made a huge statement in Death Valley last week, 36-16 over then number 2 Georgia.
Yeah, that was a huge statement, to say the least. We saw it in week 1 with LSU. The win over Miami, and we saw it again in the win over Georgia. The glaring difference from the 2018 Tigers and past LSU teams is, coach, they open it up offensively when they have a lead, and even when they have a double-digit lead. Mississippi State, they come in with 2 losses, but they're more than capable of competing in this game. And look at the point spread. LSU, a 6.5 or 7-point favorite, so Bulldogs only a small underdog.
Joe Burrow, he has made the difference in this LSU team. The quarterback transferred in from Ohio State, and he's still got another year to go. He's a great leader. His teammates rally around him. You can just watch and see how they gravitate toward this guy. We haven't seen that from LSU in a long time. Mississippi State quarterback Nick Fitzgerald, he's a senior. He has made his living running the football. Not that he's not an adequate passer, but he's big, strong, tough. He likes to run the football, even will run it up inside, doesn't faze him at all. In the Bulldogs' 2 losses this year, Kentucky and Florida both loaded the box. They took away the run, and they made him throw. I'm looking for LSU to do more of the same.
So do I, coach, and the reason is LSU up front, they're solid just like Kentucky and Florida. But the difference is LSU secondary are better than both of those teams, so they can go man-to-man and load the box even more, and it's going to make it tougher for Fitzgerald. When I look at trends in the game, most of the point spread trends, they cancel out. LSU great in conference. They've covered 9 of their last 10 SEC games. State, they've covered 4 straight over LSU, so they come to play for this game. The under, 7-1 in State's last 8 games, low scoring games. That's why I'm leaning in this game. The total is very low. It's around 44, 45. But State has shown they know how to make games ugly and keep them low scoring.
When Dan Mullen left and went to Gainesville, Joe Moorhead, he left Happy Valley, came down to Mississippi State to take over that program. And he's been in some big-time arenas as the offensive coordinator at Penn State. I mean, he's the Horseshoe at Ohio State, Big House at Michigan, even the Rose Bowl. But this is his first time in Tiger Stadium at night. And I'm just going to say right now, welcome to the SEC, Joe, because this will be an eye-opening experience for him.
Yeah, and Coach, we talked about Georgia going to Baton Rouge for the first time because they hadn't been there in 5 or 6 years, right?
Right.
So it's the same thing here. It's if you haven't been there and done it, it's quite a scene.
No doubt about it. When that fog starts rolling in over that stadium about 30 minutes after you kick off, it's an eerie kind of place. But it's a fun atmosphere, no doubt about it. And that should be a good football game. I think LSU's going to win, but I think it'll be a good football game. Speaking of the Horseshoe at Ohio State, number 2 Ohio State, they don't play in the Horseshoe. They have to go play in West Lafayette at Ross-Ade Stadium at Purdue. That's going to be a 7:30 kick on ABC. Urban Meyer and the Bucks, they're 7-0. Jeff Brohm and Purdue, 3-3. But, Mike, if you go back and dissect their season, they literally are 3 plays and 3 penalties away from being 6-0.
Yeah, they have 3 losses, but you're right. They were in position to win all 3 of those games, and those 3 losses were by a combined total of 8 points. Now, as far as history in this series, the two teams haven't played since 2013. My key for this game, for Purdue to be competitive, they have to get off to a good start. Missouri spread Purdue out and had nearly 400 yards of offense at the half. So Purdue can't play like that, obviously. They don't want to come from behind. Purdue doesn't want to get into a track meet with the Buckeyes.
No, not with Dwayne Haskins playing quarterback for Ohio State. And again, both these quarterbacks are getting a lot of attention for this game, and rightfully so. The Bucks, Haskins, just a sophomore, thrown for over 2,300 yards and 28 touchdowns. And, yes, I did not misspeak. He's thrown for 28 touchdowns. The Boilermakers' David Bly is a senior from Dallas, Texas. He doesn't have the gaudy stats of Haskins, but there are not many quarterbacks around that do right now. But he's more than capable of putting points on the board. But once again, you know, and maybe it's just because of my old time as a defensive coordinator, but look at these defenses. Ohio State giving up 148 yards per game on the ground, and Purdue, surprisingly to me, even better, 146 yards per game on the ground. You know, I feel like both of these teams will contain the run early, but I think the difference is going to be if Haskins can be on target with some early passes. If he can, it's going to force the Boilermakers to run more coverage package, not be able to stack the box so much. And when they get into those coverage package, then now you've opened up running lanes for the Bucks. I really like Purdue to keep this game close for a while, but I think the Buckeyes, I think they're going to pull away late.
That's been the theme in Ohio State's last several games. In 4 of their last 5 games, it was a 1-score game at the half, and then the Bucks stepped it up, and talent prevailed, and they pull away in the second half. Odds makers inflate Ohio State lines because the public plays Ohio State more than any team in college football. Boise State a close second. The Bucks have covered only 2 of their last conference games. Remember, they're playing these games with inflated numbers. Purdue has covered 4 straight games, and they're getting 2 touchdowns at home. I see value in that, but the Purdue players have to truly believe that they're on par with Ohio State. If not, the Buckeyes could snowball them.
Yeah, I think this is a game that Purdue is pretty much put a lot of eggs in this basket, because this game right here, not only could it get them above 500, it would just make their season altogether.
Yeah, and it would destroy Ohio State's season possibly, but more than likely it would. And it would be this game, if Purdue were to win it, would be much bigger win than, say, going and winning the Music City Bowl or some other mid-level bowl.
No doubt about that. All right, Mike, we'll take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll talk NFL on Inside the Numbers.